Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm happy to be sharing today in our how-to series. This is the final week. We've been looking at how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to serve. Today, how to share. All of these messages can be found on our website, and even last week's message from Justin Napier, who is the executive director of Gateway of Hope. A wonderful message. That as well is on our website for your review or your viewing for the first time. Well, today we're looking at sharing, as I said. One of the first lessons any parent attempts to teach their child is how important it is to share. As a parent, there's all kinds of different ways we've done that over the years. While it may seem difficult to help a two-year-old appreciate the need to share a toy whose value they don't know, we know it to be $10. I'm not sure it gets easier as we get older. Whether the value remains at $10 or whether we add a few zeros, sharing is not always easy. Growing up in my first family, sharing was challenging, at least from my vantage point. Things were tight financially. And it seemed to me that when things came our way, we would be wise to gather and guard what was gifted to us. Giving was counterintuitive because we needed people to give to us because things were tight financially. People would share with us, proving the generosity and provision of God and how God uses people. But again, when we did receive, the most natural tendency, I thought, was to gather and guard. I felt it was out of necessity. I'm thankful for generous parents who continued to be generous in so many ways. First, certainly we need God's help to turn that inner voice off, to allow God to renew our minds so that we can learn how to share. It may not come naturally. This was tested for me many, many years ago. I was a youth pastor out for our annual New Year's Eve all-nighter. It was always so much fun. I actually missed those days. The evening included tobogganing. It was so much fun. It was so cool. That particular New Year's Eve, because of necessity of size of crowd, needed to lend our car last minute to a youth leader who, when driving the kids home from the tobogganing hill on that snowy New Year's Eve early morning, swerved a bit and ran my car into an off-duty police officer. Yikes! She got in a car accident. Thankfully, there was no one hurt. She was shooken up. She did receive a ticket, but my car was written off. Yikes! Giving, sharing, sets in motion all kinds of things. Perhaps this, in case of my car, I never received my car back. The scriptures talk a lot about sharing and all kinds of sharing and the need for us to grow up and mature in our giving and in our sharing. I think specifically today of the verse found in Hebrews chapter 13, 16 that says, "Do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." This verse comes from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a letter addressed to Jewish Christians who, of course, were most familiar with the Old Testament law, and particularly in the purposes of the letter, they were being tempted to revert to what was familiar, which was the Old Testament Judaism. They'd been called out of it. And the writer of this letter was reminding them to stay the course with Jesus. See, following Jesus and his new law was all new to them. And so the writer of this book, certainly in chapter 13, instructs the readers that there can be no turning back to our continuation in their old Jewish thinking and system because of Jesus and God's people. Even Jewish Christians must look only to Jesus and stay the course with Jesus, the one whose atoning death, resurrection, and ascension had opened the way into the true heavenly sanctuary of God's presence and God's priorities and renewed purposes. And some of these purposes are laid out in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. The writer in this verse exhorts the reader in the chapter, in the verse, this is what followers of Jesus do. And then specifically in verse 13 says, they don't forget to do good and to share with others. It's interesting to think that this mature Jewish audience needed to be reminded with something that seemed so elementary. Don't forget to do good and share. It sounds like something a young mom would say to their child dropping them off at preschool. Don't forget to do good and don't forget to share. I appreciated Justin Napier's encouragement last week as he spoke about how to serve. He suggested and reminded us of the need to continually review the story that we are caught up in. So whether it's a preschooler being reminded by a mother, whether it's the writer of the book of Hebrews to a mature Jewish audience of Christians, or whether it's us today, we need to be continually reminded what story is unfolding within our hearts, our minds, and around us. And that's kind of what this verse again is doing, reminding us of who we are. And because of who we are, our priorities are to follow. As followers of Jesus, we've been onboarded into a new narrative that is to impress upon us the responsibility to do good and to share. This is now what we've been called into as that which represents the sacrifice of our lives that is pleasing to God that we'll speak about in just a moment. Now notice here, the writer is differentiating between these two important behaviors, doing good and sharing. Doing good and sharing. So doing good. Do good. This is an action, perhaps always prompted by an awareness of a need. For example, during the snowstorm and snowfall of this past month, we shoveled the neighbor's walkway. We pull over to help someone who's stranded. We do our good deed of the day. These gestures are so important to our story and our narrative. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul's word to the church in Ephesus, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So as the writer speaks to Hebrews, don't forget to do good. Paul also says, don't forget to do the good things that I have pre-planned for you to do. Now again, understand, this is not the work of the law of the Old Testament. No, this is the work or the sacrifice involved in being a follower of Jesus, doing good. We're not earning or proving our salvation. We're simply leaning in to this narrative of God's good works that he has prepared for us in advance to do. So it's important for us as we learn how to do good, as we learn how to share, that we pray specifically from this scripture. God, lead me today in towards the good works you have prepared in advance for me to do. Second word is sharing. Do good, don't forget to share. When you give something, you don't expect it necessarily to come back to you. When you share something or you lend something, perhaps there's an understanding of what is shared may or may not come back to you, perhaps based upon the item that's been shared. I didn't get my car back for my youth leader. I shared it, she borrowed it, I didn't get it back. But what we do know is that sharing involves mutuality, in the sense that sharing involves people mutually benefiting because they're sharing. Let me explain a bit. The word that the writer uses here, don't forget to share, is the word impart. It means to share with another. It's to share a portion of something which you have. So it's to share a portion of something perhaps that's larger. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3 says this, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." So again, the word share, same word, is to impart. So the illustration rises about a shirt and food. Let's consider the sacrifice of both of these, or the giving away of both of these. John the Baptist very, very perhaps carefully helps us appreciate the breadth and the expanse of sharing. So if you have two shirts and you give one shirt away, the lender, when imparting the shirt from their wardrobe, may or may not get the shirt back. It depends on the need, the present and future need. But his illustration of food, when you share food, you certainly don't expect the food returned because food gets consumed. Shirts get used, food gets consumed or eaten. So just like a shirt that's being given as a share of what the person had, so is giving a share or a portion of food that the person has. So it's not so much about getting it back, as perhaps illustrated by John the Baptist. What rather is important is appreciating the mutuality of the giving and of the receiving. Let me explain. The one who receives the shirt and the food becomes blessed. To the recipient of the shirt, there is an encouragement, and there would be an awareness that God has met their need. They didn't have a shirt, they didn't have food, now they have a shirt, and now they have food. Their need has been met. Perhaps it would be credited to them that they humbled themselves and received and asked, perhaps received God's provision, and from there would find a way to be content using the food as if it was their own and eating the food as if it was their own. And it was credited to them as a blessing. For the recipient of the shirt and food, there would be a fruit that matures, fruit that grows from trusting God that he will meet their need and he's got their back. Now again, mutuality. What about the one who shared their shirt or their food? What about their sacrifice, and what is their return? Well, for the one who has two shirts and asks to give one, God didn't ask them to give both shirts, so they still have one shirt. Perhaps the second shirt would be returned. The food won't, because food is consumed. But just like the one who received and now have a much-needed shirt and food, the one who shared has made an investment. And an investment that's good creates a return. And when, as the scriptures in Hebrews says, when we do good and share, we are making a good investment that has a good return. Timothy talked about this. In the book of Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be ignorant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So again, what is the dividend to the one who shared from their portion? Well, again, returning to John the Baptist's illustration, God had given both those shirts to the one who had them, as Timothy says, for their enjoyment. It actually says for our enjoyment. Their riches, our riches, the owner's riches are for their personal enjoyment, but also to be thought of as for the enjoyment of others. For it's God that actually owns all their stuff. So bridging from John the Baptist's illustration to Timothy's teaching and back to Hebrews, what we realize is that the stuff that we have, the things that we have, are for our enjoyment, my enjoyment, and are to be thought of through sharing so that other people can enjoy well. According to Timothy, people that have stuff, shirts and food and other things, are to be stewards of all that God has given them in the first place. So when we share, we're actually not sharing our own stuff because everything that we have is given to us as a gift from God. It's God's. It's not ours in the first place. So if we're generous and we give away what God has given to us, it requires, of course, huge amounts of faith and trust. But when we do so, we sow. Our sharing creates a sowing that will yield a share. Timothy says, as we share and as we sow, we are laying up treasure for the coming age. When we share or sow our stuff, our shirts, our food, our other belongings, we can expect in the future to benefit from the yield or the return. We can always expect a return from God on our share. Ultimately, as we learn to do good and to share, we begin, as Timothy says it, the verse in the verse 19, we begin to take hold of the life that's truly life. It's actually Zoe life, a word that's familiar here at Living Waters. Zoe life. We have women's networks and men's network that gather around the narrative of discovering Zoe life, absolute fullness of life, life that belongs only to God and given by God to us or supplied to us from God, a divine life that's both essential and ethical, a life that does not forget to do good and to share with others. So as the word sharing is introduced, we most naturally need then to continually revisit this idea of being interdependent as people. Interdependent with the one that we discover the need of. And of course, then we are creating an interdependence between us and the other and us and God. There's an interdependence here of discovering the principles of asking, sowing, and reaping. In his book, Strength to Strength, Arthur Brooks talks about the interdependence of the aspen tree and the giant redwood tree. The aspen tree is not a solitary majesty, despite what this picture looks like. Each individual tree forms part of an enormous root system. In fact, each individual tree forms part of an enormous root system and is the largest living organism in the world. One stand of aspens in Utah called Pando spans 106 acres and weighs 6 million kilograms. Would be similar of the giant redwood trees that we see here a picture of in Northern California. These large trees grow to 275 feet tall. They have, though, remarkably shallow root systems, about only 5 feet or so deep, because they are interconnected and interdependent. The redwood grows in thick groves because their shallow roots are intertwined, and over time they fuse together. They start out as individuals and become one with others as they mature and grow. And certainly, in this natural picture of interdependence, so there is a spiritual picture of us becoming interdependent as we mature and grow and are doing good and in our sharing. We become interdependent. In one season, we have a need and benefit from the gift of the other. In other seasons, we have gifts to be able to share with those in need, all the while becoming interdependent with the ultimate provider called God. We need to wisely share in this idea of drawing support, strength, nourishment from others, this interdependence. An old Irish proverb said, it's in the shelter of each other that people actually live. So we share. We share our need with others so they can help us. We share our empathy. We share our stuff. We share our shirts and our food. We share our faith. And God blesses. So the final part of this verse says, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Why is God pleased with such sacrifices? Again, the Jewish Christian audience, very familiar with the Old Testament sacrificial system. So the writer appropriately provokes their thinking and saying, okay, you're not doing the Old Testament sacrifices, but according to this new covenant, there still is a sacrificial system. And that sacrificial system is do good and share with others. A popular theologian of our day gives just very quickly three ideas on why God is pleased with these sacrifices. Number one, because these sacrifices honor the death of the Son of God. Titus 2:14 says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. God is pleased with our doing good and our sharing because it demonstrates the success and power of the suffering of his Son. Most specifically, the God story that a Christian is caught up in. Jesus giving it all, demonstrating his love, saving us from all iniquity, a life that's immoral, selfish, and wicked. So when we do good and share, it's a testament of a different story in our lives, a story of God's calling, his deliverance, his cleansing, and a story of redemption that we are now benefiting from and living to tell. Secondly, Hebrews 13 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, nor never will I forsake you. Every time we demonstrate a sacrifice of doing good and sharing, we show that we are trusting the promises of God and that God is trustworthy and faithful. We can live for others without needing return. We show that God is our most wonderful payoff. A life lived with others is a bright testimony to the worth of God and the truthfulness of his promise. Thirdly, Hebrews 13, may God equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What this shows us first, that God equips us with every good that we need to do his will, and second, that God works in us that which is pleasing in his sight. So God is pleased with such sacrifices because they are, in a real sense, his own work in our lives. And he delights fully in the excellence and beauty of his own achievements demonstrated through his people. Paul said in Corinthians, I worked hard. Nevertheless, it was not I, but the grace of God which is within me. These sacrifices are a testament to the glory of God who works in us, and by his grace, we offer good and we share. So again, in closing, our little text verse here, don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We need to keep in mind that doing good and sharing doesn't get easier as we get older. For the 2-year-old with a toy, to the 20-year-old, to the 40-year-old, 60 and on, it doesn't get easier. Why? Because over time, our needs get greater, and over time, our supply sometimes gets greater as well. What we do know is giving is a gift. Jesus offers us life, abundant life. Giving first begins with receiving Jesus, getting caught up in a new narrative of benefiting from the blessing that God has for our lives individually. He's got our back. We can trust Him with our lives. Giving is a gift that starts with receiving of a relationship. It starts with receiving a new purpose for our lives. And it starts with a new appreciation for living a life of interdependence with the one who has more, the one perpetually in certain seasons has less, but ultimately together with God as He grows and matures us into faithful followers of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us today as we concluded our how-to series. And as we heard from Dave, our faith is a giving faith because we serve a God who is greatly generous. And let's conclude just in a moment of prayer now and remember God's great generosity as we imagine all the ways that we can be a sharing people. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we can freely give and freely share because You have freely given and freely shared with us. Lord, we realize we share in all kinds of ways, and one of those ways is by sharing the gospel, sharing our faith in word and in action. Would You show us this week how we can share our faith and how this is so central in what it means to be a follower of Jesus? We thank You for Your great generosity. If we can't see it, would You help us to see it this week and to receive the depths of Your love so that we can be loving and gracious with others? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you around soon.